broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies we seek truth. Amid truth we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, Shabbat Shalom and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Morning to some, afternoon to others, but a hearty hello nonetheless. The la-di-da-di and every other body listening in. Tonight we bring you some scriptures and scuttlebutts here on Holistic Truth. It is August 4th, 2023, and we are broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. I am your host, Leander Grace, and it remains a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of this one thing. We are diligently contending for the faith, asking Holy Spirit to continue to guide our battle, knowing we're giving only our daily bread and a daily reprieve based upon our spiritual fitness going forward. With the full armor of Yahweh Elohim, we know this battle is won, but still we must show up. And we're going to talk about Jacob called Israel tonight, and he showed up and he didn't quit. We're going to talk about that. Holy Spirit stands waiting to be invited as this great awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. Change is upon us. With that, every dimension and layer of change that we as a species and we the people can conceive and on levels and dimensions we cannot yet imagine, make no mistakes, do not be deceived. We remain at war, both physical in some degrees and, of course, the spiritual battle as well. We wrestle not against human beings, but against rulers and authorities and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. The battle has been the same since the beginning of the fall. So remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, pod people, we love you, too. Question everything, cultivating a Berean mind and a seeker's heart. And, yes, we have a scripture for that. Acts 17:11, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. And that means basically don't listen, don't believe what comes out of Leander Grace's mouth just because it came out of Leander Grace's mouth. Check it out. Do the research. And we're going to do some research on the program tonight. I went ahead and brought some pictures or some graphics of the Hebrew text, and I'm going to show kind of a little example of how I go in and find things, and maybe you'll want to go in and search and find some things too. But I'll tell you, folks, not everything I say is going to tickle your ears and may scratch your head. It may answer some questions, or it may raise up some more. But I encourage you to hang out, hang on nonetheless, and see if we can't pull some of these truths together. Our stalwart verse remains as we research what we hear so you can own your own experience. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Revelation 14:12 tells us that here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, the faith of Jesus unto death. It is good to be back with you all here this evening on air among a network of believers here on the Netzarim Network in Christ Yeshua called Jesus, HaMashiach Nagi. Now we talk about that, Christ Yeshua called Jesus, and it is in the same venue that we say Jacob called Israel, do we not? HaMashiach Nagi is who we lift this program up to. That is the point and the truth of which there is no compromise. The top tenet of this network as a whole and I, Leander Grace, individually is a matter of my profession of faith. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is a message of truth so powerful, revealing a mystery. We're going to look at a mystery tonight, a mystery so magnificent. And who can withstand this? Upon hearing it, folks will either fight and flee, or they will listen and become converted, and it's a privilege to walk this road. Thank you for being part of the broadcast tonight. So tonight, we're talking about Jacob called Israel and that conversionary experience and some of the questions that were asked that seemed to raise more questions. And we're going to go forward with this. We're not, it's not a lot of fanfare. We're not going to have headlines or any of that. We are going to go ahead and open the program with an open prayer for our nation as well as our president and his family. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you and we say thank you. Thank you for all the things that you have been doing and accomplishing and the work that you've been working in us, in the body of Christ as a whole, and then each of us individually, Father, with our gifts as we turn them over to you for guidance for the next step of what to do. Father, also I want to take this time not just to turn the program over to you, but also to turn this nation over to you, Father, and to lift up our President, President Donald J. Trump, as he goes through these trials for us and takes these hits for us so that the more truths can be revealed. And that seems to be the way of things. Father, strengthen him, strengthen his family. Let him know your presence and your guidance, Father, and let him rest easy knowing that you've got this. Not one time have you ever let a chosen or an anointed fall. We thank you so much for these promises, Father. Be with us now as we dive into your word and we take a look at Jacob called Israel and the questions and some of the little funny things that Holy Spirit left for us to find. As we giggle a little bit, but also stay in reverence, we lift this up to you in the name of Yeshua, HaMashiach Nagid, we call Jesus. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and move forward. I really enjoyed delving into and studying on this topic tonight of Jacob called Israel. And I liked it so much, I went into, of course, the Hebrew and all of that, and I went in and did some screenshots so that you can see it. If you're on Blog Talk Radio interface, you can see the graphics that are scrolling by, and it basically tends to tell the story. But let's go ahead and get into the scriptures for those of you who want to join along. And I'm going through the King James Version. That's what's it's a standard that I choose to use. And we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 32. And this is right after Jacob had left with his wife and family, with wives and children, and all that he owned, all of his cattle, and all of the abundance and the increase that God had given to him for his faithful labor. Under Laban, under unfair circumstances. And so God made sure that he was increased and had plenty. And so in Genesis 32, what we see is, you know, he's going to meet Esau, and he's like, yeah, you know, I don't trust my brother, which we find out in the long run is a good thing. He's not someone who is trustworthy. You know, when he had his children and his wife, so on one side, and then in verse 24, we find in chapter 32, Genesis 32, verse 24, it says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And Jacob, let's read that again, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, the concordant literal version reads this. It says, and left is Jacob alone, and wrestling is a man with him till the ascending of the dawn. Now, it doesn't say anywhere in the scriptures who initiated the wrestling. It doesn't. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that Jacob said, hey, come over here, I want to wrestle with you. Nowhere in, it doesn't say that, you know, it says all of a sudden, almost like all of a sudden. He was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the angel wasn't prevailing against Jacob, right? He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So he was wrestling with him with an injury. Angel said, bow, take that. And Jacob says, And he says, let me go. Now he says, the daybreak, and he can, no, I'm not going to let you go and except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Now, did the angel of the Lord not know what Jacob's name was? Of course he did. But so many times, the angel of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, wants to record this. And if it's big enough and important enough to record it, and it seems as though it's mundane, we might want to take a look. And so that's what we're going to do this evening. And he said to him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And I'm sure Jacob's like, surely you know my name. You're an angel of the Lord. Why don't you know my name? And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, prince, hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Now, there's another translation of verse 28, and it says, and saying is he to him, not Jacob shall your name be called longer, but this is the concordant literal version, but rather Israel is your name, for upright are you with the Elohim and with mortals and are prevailing. So in the King James Version, it's talking about him having power, but that's not what the scripture says. What the scripture says is what the concordant literal version says, and it says that you are upright with Elohim and with mortals and are prevailing. That's what the scripture says. That's what the Hebrew text says. Now, remember, with the King James Version, it's gone through several layers of translation, and we're aware of that. But I like the rhythm of it, and I'm very comfortable with the outline and using it as a standard from which to seek things out. So we find out here that Jacob, not only that he didn't quit, but he was also, he dealt uprightly. He was upright with Elohim and with mortals. Now, if we go with the mythological narrative that Jacob was a scoundrel and a deceiver and a thief and all of that, well, then this doesn't make very much sense. But right here, it seems as though that the angel of the Lord is clearing his name. It says, for upright are you with Elohim and with mortals and are prevailing. Now, remember, we covered in another program, when he obtained the birthright, it was through the sale, fair sale. Nobody was being taken advantage of. Esau had no respect for it. And again, when he received the blessing from his father, it was his mother's, he was following his mother's orders, which is the respect that you give to your mother, because she knew what she was doing. She was ensuring that the blessing was in good hands. Why? Because one day he was going to wrestle with the angel of the Lord and his name was going to be changed. Did Rebecca know that? Well, maybe. Maybe. She was told that she had two nations inside of her, and the older would serve the younger. So these things were coming about. They had knowledge of things that were going on. So why did the Holy Spirit feel it necessary to have in the scriptures that the angel of the Lord said, and it's not a capital, it's a lowercase, it seems like, and he's saying that, you know, what's thy name? And he said, Jacob. He's like, not anymore, but Israel. No more Jacob, but Israel. And Jacob asked him, he says, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. We can stop right there on verse 29. And he blessed him there. So we have a couple of things with names going on, and I think this is a really good place to concentrate our attention on the way God uses names, what he does when he changes people's names, when he says, no, you're no longer going to be called this. Even in Abraham, right, the name was changed. Even with Sarah, the name was changed. Why? Something was added. Something was added. This is not just a change of identity. This is an additional thing. And you say, well, what do you mean? It just says that he blessed him. Well, let's take a look at what the scripture says. Let's take a look at the Hebrew. And I do have it over there on the Blog Talk video page. So let's go ahead and, first of all, before we take a look at that, let's go ahead and go back up to the word wrestle. Because we know he was alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. That's what we've got. Now, when we go over to the Strong's Concordance and we take a look at the word wrestle, that's Hebrew, Strong's Hebrew, H79, and we take a look at that word, we find out that it's not simply wrestle, but there's a whole nother level of meaning that we can perhaps get out of this word. And you say, well, Leanna Grace, are you bringing this? Are you kind of reading? No, I'm showing you what the scripture says. In the Strong's Concordance, it says an H79, that's the 79th Hebrew word that they translated evidently, it's abach, or it's either abach or abach, both can be correct. And it's a primitive root, probably to float away What? Probably to float away as vapor, but used only as a denominative from Strong's H80. Now, they also have to bedest or to grapple. Okay, so let's take a look at number 80. Let's take a look at H80. And it says it's from a root, it's abak, the same one, pronounced the same, light particles as volatile, small dust, and powder. So I'm sure that they were down in the dust and they were kicking it up and all of that. But I also want us to take a look at this as volatile light particles, because we know this was an angel of the war of the Lord. And they say, well, Leanna Grace, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is we need to look at it. We need to look at it because we know the Lord uses light. Now let's just let that rest for a minute. The Lord uses light? Yeah, the Lord uses light. So let's let that rest and let's go on back down. Remember, he says, so what is thy name? And then he says, why do you ask me my name? And he blessed him there like it was a silly question. And so the angel says, what's your name? My name's Jacob. Okay, not anymore. Now I'm going to call you Israel. Now you should no more be Jacob. Now, but Israel. Also Israel? No, but Israel. And then we get down here and he asks the angel, he says, well, what is your name? He goes, why are you asking me my name? It seems like it would be a fair exchange. What's your name? This is my name. Okay, not anymore. Well, what's your name? Well, don't we expect that they would give the name? Let's take a look at what the scripture says. As we look at that particular verse, and that's Genesis 32:28. Is it 22? No, that's 32:29. Genesis 32, verse 39. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask? It's almost like I just told you my name. Oh, what? Let's take a look at what the scripture says. When we get down to, let me go ahead and clear my throat. When we get down to, let me take a look at the time. Yeah, we got plenty of time. When we get down to the end of it, and it says, and he blessed him there. Let's take a look over what the Hebrew says. And it says, this you are asking to the name of me, and he is blessing Aleph Tav there. What? He's blessing him there is what the translation is. But if we look at the word him and we look above it, we see that it's Strong's 853, which is Aleph and Tav. And the exact letters, the Hebrew letters that are being used are Aleph, Tav, Vav. And if we take a look at the translation, just with the Aleph, Tav, Vav, what it says is, what it translates into is with him or with you, with him. So to me, and others may see this differently, but to me, what it's saying is I'm with you, which is why your name is changed. So why are you asking my name since I just gave you a name? Could it be that the blessing, and he blessed him there, and blessing him is he there, could it be that he is blessing him and being with him there? Because remember, the children are not the children of Jacob. They're sons of Jacob, but the children of Israel. And the wording is very specific. The Holy Spirit is consistent addressing sons of Jacob and consistent in children of Israel. There are very few exceptions in the scriptures with that. So I think we need to take a look at this and see if perhaps knowing that when we wrestle, a man wrestled with him. Was a tangible man? I don't know. Took care of that thigh. And he halted from then on. And then it goes on and it says, therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, like when they're having a cow or a beef or whatever, any animal, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew. And it benumbed or it shrunk, and from then on he halted. So in this scripture also, you know, we have the, you saw the face of God, and we'll use that for another program unless the Father moves me to go ahead and do some explanation on that too. But understand that when God changes a name, he adds something. And with Abraham, he added a hey, which is a breath. And with Sarah, he added a hey, which is a breath. And we know that the breath of God is light. And I'm wondering if there's not a correlation for the addition, and why the angel, you know, why the angel was almost laughing at Jacob. He says, why did you just ask me my name? We just went through this whole thing, and now you ask me my name. Do you not understand what we just did here, Jacob called Israel? And now you ask me my name? And the Holy Spirit felt it so important to put that exchange in for us to perhaps to see that from that point on, it wasn't just blessing him like you're going to do good, but the blessing included being with him, Aleph Tav, with him. And I do believe that is a correct dividing the word of the word of truth. So the angels didn't, you know, I think he was actually laughing, kind of amused that Jacob didn't understand that that was the same one that would be with him. Was it a physical man? Well, I don't know. We're talking about dust. We're talking about particles of light. This puts a whole nother different shade, a whole nother different type of perception on what it is that went on. And then it wasn't just that Jacob said, I'm going to grab a hold of this angel of the Lord and wrestle him till I get something from him. That's not what the scripture says happened at all. Not in Torah. In the Apocrypha, well, we'll have to take a look at that. But in Torah, the legal document, the integrated messaging system that we have that uses the words that are necessary to use, we see here, here's the exchange, and then it goes on, and Father says, yeah, go ahead and bring it to him, because we're going to come up to a break here. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Penuel, and the sun rose upon it. Now, these are two different words in the King James Version. When I look at verse 30, it says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. And then when we get to verse 31, it says, and as he passed over Penuel. And if we look over into the scriptures, do we see any difference in it? And the answer is yes. One is Strong's 86439. And the other one is Strong's 86439. But the lettering, the vowels as they're presented in the text are different. And I find that interesting to note that it's translated is 6439. So let's take a look at that and see what Strong's 6439 has to say. And this is more properly, it says Penuel. So it's a little bit like that. It says, face of God, a place east of Jordan, also as Penuel, the name of two Israelites. And then there's other references. It's a primitive root, to turn, by implication to face, or to appear, look at. And the other one is Strong's 410, which is L, shortened from H352, and it's strength. It's an adjective. It's mighty. So there's a mightiness to this. He says, I wrestled, I saw the face of a mighty angel, perhaps, is what. He said, well, I see the Elohim, which is a dual, face to face, and rescued is my soul. That's what the scripture says. So in the King James Version, in verse 32 and 30, it says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And what it sounds to a common Protestant reader is he was very grateful that he saw God face to face and didn't die. But that's not what the scripture says. In the concordant literal verse, it says, and calling is Jacob the name of the place Peniel, for I see the Elohim face to face, and rescued is my soul. Oh, What? Rescued is my soul? What does the scripture say? What does it say in the Hebrew? It says he's calling Jacob, the name of the place, Peniel, that I saw Elohim faces to faces, and she is being rescued, the soul of me. She is being rescued, the soul of me. So Jacob is saying that the soul of me is rescued. She is being rescued. There's another mystery in here. Who is the she? Do all souls, are they referred to as a she in the scriptures? And I'm going to tell you no. No, there's his soul and there's that soul. But this has a female addition to the male soul of him. Where did that come in? Well, we just found out that Jacob is no more called Jacob, but now Israel. There's a correlation here. There is an addition to Jacob. And that addition is rescuing the soul of him. The addition's name is Israel, which is exactly why I believe the angel laughed at Jacob for even asking the name when he just gave it to him to use. And she is rescuing the soul of him. And it becomes a journey. So why did God choose Jacob for Israel? Well, we find out in verse 28, for upright are you with the Elohim and with mortals and are prevailing. He says, I'm choosing you because you're going to win. And I know you are. And so here we go. That's what it looks like to me. That's what it seems is occurring. And I present it to you for your mulling over, your edification, consideration, and otherwise pondering to see if these words might be true. And then, of course, therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And so it's a memorial. If they have a shank, a beef, or an ox bone, whatever, they don't eat that part as a memorial to Jacob, to remember that Jacob, his name was changed, something was added, and she's rescuing the soul of him. And we're going to talk a little bit about the rescuing of the soul of him when we come back on the other side of the break. Don't know what it's going to look like. The Father just said, yep, that's what we're going to talk about. So I'm interested to learn with you as well as we go, because I guess we're going to be talking about that. Rescuing the soul of him and how that could be. A little pondering, not a lot. We'll just bring it to the fore so we can all consider it, perhaps, in what it all means. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're going to go into the break and let's see what we've got. You know, yeah, let's go ahead and listen to some more Michael O'Brien with his First Peter. I just love this song. We love one another. And that's what's going to get us and the rest of us, all of us, to the finish line, is being able to love one another through all of this as we wrestle with our own dusts and light particles and all of those things that are coming in. We've got all kinds of Schumann going on. We're watching the light come in. Who's providing the light? And does it not send us into a wrestling? Just saying. I am your host, Leanna Grace. Michael O'Brien. We'll be back. We do not see Broadcasting live from somewhere amid lies we seek truth, amid truth we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, welcome back to the second part of Scriptures and Scuttlebutt here on this Friday evening. Shabbat Shalom. We're talking about Jacob called Israel, the addition to Israel, and that the scriptures tell us that she's saving his soul. And I think that is absolutely amazing. You know, this whole time I've read it, it's like, oh, my life was preserved. I saw God face to face and I didn't die. But that's not what the scriptures say. That's what the King James translation is telling us, and it gets us close to the truth. But if we look at the scriptures, we see that he saw Elohim faces to faces. That's phanim to phanim. That was both faces to faces. And she is rescuing the soul of me, the nefeshai. So this is a holy event that is occurring. This isn't a run-of-the-mill thing. There's not very many verses to it. There's not a lot of script. There's only eight from beginning to end, eight verses. Occurred in those eight verses is phenomenal. Phenomenal. He laid down as Jacob, and he rose up as Israel with the addition rescuing his soul. Now understand, it wasn't just Jacob's soul that was being rescued, but it was going to be the lineage. Remember on last night's or Wednesday night's broadcast, we talked about that the lineage is counting on us to finish this race. It's nearly like a millennia after millennia relay race of passing the baton to the next generation, the next remnant, the next school, the next group of folks, the next generation, until we get to today. And in our memories, in our prayers with our memories, the Father said to bring these words together, and I'm not sure why. Let's see where we're going with this. Understand that when we pray, our body changes, our frequency changes, our mind begins to change as we lift ourselves up to speak to God, speak to the Father. And we lift our prayers up. There's a difference in our physicalness. And what we may not understand is that when we are praying with our body and with our mind and with everything that goes in with it. That includes our DNA. That includes our genetics. Now, I want to talk a little bit about our DNA, and it fits in here whether we may realize this or not. You know, scientists make a big to-do about us having 97% or 90% of our DNA. They call it junk DNA, and they call it junk DNA because they don't know what to do with it, or they don't want us to be thinking about it. But understand that within that junk DNA, there's data. It's not junk. It's information. And within our DNA, it's not just the information of God eternal within the body. It is also the information of our genetic lineage. Our genes, our DNA, our makeup has memory. It has lineage, memory, all the way from when ever. And we carry the knowledge of our ancestors with us, whether we're aware of that knowledge or not, which explains why each generation seems to be brighter than the generation before. It's because they have like built-in knowledge almost. Not almost, we do. And so what we carry, each of us with us, is the lineage of our folks. Now, you say, Leanna Grace, is this ancestral worship? No, this is honoring your fathers and your mothers so that we can have a long life. That's the first commandment with a promise, that our days may be long and happy. Understand that God was serious when he said that the generations, you know, he was serious when he talked about holding generations responsible. Let's talk a little bit about generations. Let's talk about the 10th generation. Now, we know we've been using bits and bytes for a while, so we understand the number 1024 is a megabyte, and it's a binary factor, right? 2 times 2 times 2 times 2, da, 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 da. So, and we end up with the megabyte value of 1024, which we call one singular megabyte because we don't know what to do with the 24, shorthand. But understand that 1024 is also the factor of the 10th generation. You say, what, Leanna Grace? Well, after the 10th generation of something, it's either bred in or it's bred out, which is why the scriptures tell us that no one from Israel was supposed to marry a Moabite ever, ever, ever unto the 10th generation, and then that's when that occurred. So it was foretold as well as limited. And why? So that those bad things that were bred in have a chance to be bred out. Oh, yes, a dilution of a particular type of a lineage. Now you say, is this eugenic? No, I'm not getting into that. God does it. We don't have to. God will do it. He makes sure that things are the way that they are. And so, you know, we have this question of reincarnation that comes up all the time, and although I'm not a reincarnationist, strictly line, I do believe that souls recur, and I also know that the spirits, that a Holy Spirit revisits. But also understand that, you know, they've done all this hypnosis and this thing, that, and this past life regression. Understand that more than likely what is being tapped into is a genetic memory. And it's not necessarily a past life of the person who's going through this regression, but it probably is something within the genetic memory, which is why so many people remember being, you know, Marie Antoinette, because there's so much relativation in the genetic makeup. So there's going to be a genetic memory. And in this way, we also carry with us our lineage to the finish line. Do they actually exist as well? Oh, absolutely. But understand that we carry this with us in our lineage. And the lineage of the children of Israel began in Genesis 32, verse 24. Now, father of many nations began with Abraham. We know that he's the father of all of us. Basically, if whether you're Arabic or whether you're Midianite or whether you're Hebrew or whether you pick one, you know, he's father of many, 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 many nations. But Israel began with Jacob, that holy encounter. It's only briefly mentioned, but the rich meat that is in the scriptures when we take a look at it, can almost see, and I'm going to get a little blasphemous here, it's almost like a magic wand, bing, now I'm you, now I'm with you. And so the angel of the Lord says, why do you ask me my name? I just gave it to you. I think would be a little bit more contextually accurate, because when God changes a name, he gives something. And this was the holy beginning, the sacred beginning of the children of Israel. This is when it all began. And you say, well, Leanna Grace, he already had children. Yes, but they were Jacob's sons and daughters. Now they were to become children of Israel. It's exciting to me. It's very exciting when I look at this and look at the adventure and follow Aleph and Tav through the scripture to see where it lands next. And here we see that we have Aleph Tav. We have Aleph Tav in verse 29 with him there. And he's blessing him there. But when we look at the him there, we see the Aleph Tav present in verse 29 when we look at the Hebrew scriptures, and I'm using this interlinear scripture analyzer. We see that the Aleph Tav, it's Aleph, it's Athu, Aleph Tav Vav. And it's with him. It's not just him there, it's with him, which means that there is a companionship. It's in the sense of a companionship. And it is no different than the sense of the companionship that we see in the coding of the Aleph and the Tav when we go into Genesis 1 and 2. It's there. And so I'm going to be spending a little bit more time. I've been spending some time studying this and going into it, and I'll be using some other scriptures as well and some other different decode methods on this. But I think that this is worth our time and worth looking at. Because although we don't speak about it very much, this is like a super-duper point in time that occurred, and it began something that I think that we need to follow. And I'll be following it through the rest of the scriptures as we go forward as well. The phone lines have been open. We don't have anybody calling in, but I am welcoming you, for those of you listening live, and go ahead and feel free to go ahead and call in. For those who listen to podcasts, five people, we love you too. We're going to go forward with this. We're going to talk about prayer and how this affects it, how prayer affects our ability to be effective. You know, and Jesus told us to pray for those, that even those that piss us off, those who despitefully use us, those who would wish us harm. And the prayer isn't for necessarily the improvement of the others, although hopefully that helps. But it's also to get us into a place of forgiveness and a place of seeing that God is capable of working in all circumstances. In all circumstances. As we look now on the world stage and we see the things that are unfolding, and Father says, yeah, go ahead, and even though it's Sabbath, we're going to go ahead and talk about it, because it's all the same battle. It is all the same battle. You know, we have Donald J. Trump, who is fighting for us, who is holding the deep state back, is revealing them, putting them out front for us to see all of the dirt that's on there, and they continually try to bring him before the court and to try him and accuse him of things that don't even exist. I mean, they're making things up now. They're doing anything that they can. And I'm really grateful for it in a way, not that he has to go through this, not that President Trump has to go through this, but if he has to go through this, I'm glad that we get to see it. Because he's showing us the dirt. He's showing us the wickedness. And he's showing us how he's not alone in this. They've done this to other people. But now we get to see how they circus people into charges. And now we see how they have made other people shrink and be quiet and use lawfare. But he's not going to shrink. And he's not going to be quiet. And he's not going to back down. And he's not going to quit. And I do believe that God is with him. He's chosen, he's anointed, and he's covered. And I think that when we say these things about President Trump, that there is a tendency for the listener to say, oh, well, yeah, he's covered. Okay, he's good. He's covered. Yeah, all right. Understand that he's covered, but that does not make what he's going through easy. It doesn't make it easy at all. It doesn't make it comfortable. It's to be under the microscope like that, to have every word that's being said to be twisted, to be an honest, innocent man, and yet being presented to the public as the worst thing that could ever happen to the nation. And it's being presented to us, even though we see the exact opposite, that he has been one of the greatest blessings upon, if not the greatest blessing upon this nation to date. He's undone the bad guys to the point where they're panicking now that they don't care how it looks as long as they get some kind of an I dotted and a T crossed that ensures that they are somehow legally covered. And that's where the wink, wink comes in to have him locked up and out of the way. We've seen this play before, maybe not with Donald Trump, but we've seen it through history. When we have a powerful leader who's able to have give us powerful results with powerful changes for our benefit, he's telling us we can take a quantum leap forward. He's explaining to us those things that have been held back. He's bringing to the fore those tools that we need to be a successful nation. And they want to lock him up and throw away the key. We've seen this story before. My question is, do we as a nation have the intestinal fortitude to keep standing up with him? Or will there be those who want an easier, softer way and not be willing to go through this wrestling with the adversary on the legal stage and to consistently and continuously hold our president up in prayer and our nation and those surrounding him that are helping him because they become targets too. The adversary is pissed that we're nearing the finish line. And understand too, towards the end of the race, and marathon runners will actually, they become kind of numb, but towards the end of the race, that's where the big challenge is. That's where the mind game is. And since we don't necessarily know when or where the finish line is, that's another psychological factor that we've got to overcome as well. We need to wrestle until one, till when? Till the day broke. We need to wrestle until the day breaketh. And what does the day breaketh mean? Well, that's when we're done and the light shines forth, when we completely get out of this dark. All right, and the angel of the Lord says, let me go. The day breaketh. Okay, I'm ready for the day to breaketh. But it's not going to happen until we're finished with the wrestling. And do we have what it takes internally and externally and the fortitude, the mental fortitude, and the psychological backbone? Because that's what it takes. This is a psychological war at this point because we're seeing things being presented as truth that we know are not. Right, and things that are not supposed to happen are happening, and things that should be happening are not happening, and that is a very frustrating place for the human race to be in, to watch. So are we all going to get frustrated and pop? Well, we might. Just beware. The whole point of what the deep state wants to do is get us frazzled up so we lose our mind, we drop the ball, we make a mistake, and give them the game. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do believe that our due diligence in prayer and our due diligence in information spreading and due diligence in truth-telling is still required. We all want to get to it. We're all going to have to go through it. And to a degree, we're all going to need to be a little bit of Jacob wrestling with whatever it is that the Father brings us in this light that's shining down, and we know that we've got all kinds of incoming light, incoming data. We got X-class flares. We got M-class flares. We got all kinds of stuff. It's a crushing. It's a pressing. Pressing A. Pressing against us so that we are wrestling with our own personal angels of the Lord, coming face to face sometimes with ourselves and not maybe liking what we see. And the Father will turn up the heat until our gold is refined to the degree that he requires. Because we're getting ready for the kingdom. And do we not need to be our best? Do we not need to get into the best shape? Not look our best, but actually become our best. And becoming our best, does that not include wrestling until the day breaketh? I love this scripture. I fell in love with this scripture this week in Genesis 32. This is the beginning of the children of Israel. This is it. This is it. There's not a lot of fanfare. There's no confetti being thrown, none of that stuff. There's no parades. But there is a wrestling. And then there is a naming. And he says, what is your name? I just gave it to you. Take care of it. Be upright with Elohim and with mortals. And prevail like Jacob called Israel. Because all of Tav is with him. That was the beginning of Israel. That was the beginning of us. If you call yourself a child of Israel, if you call yourself part of being grafted in, part of the vine, this is the moment of our history that it became. It's beautiful. And I just wanted to give it its due attention because it is such a beautiful thing. I'll be studying this even in more depth and taking a look at it and see some of the switcheroos and the handing offs and the genetic things that are going on, because this is in our DNA. You know, on the boards, I think one of the last things that was put up is protect your DNA. Why? This is why. Our lineage is in our DNA. And if someone was to try to corrupt it, the next generation would be corrupted. We don't want that. We want to keep the light burning. We want to keep the fire going. We want to keep Holy Spirit working with him, with us, in us. It's a beautiful thing. Genesis 32:24-32. The beginning of Israel. It's glorious. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're going to go ahead and bring it to a close. We've got a couple minutes left. We're going to play a little song going on out. We're going to cut it on early. This is what we've got. The wrestling. It's not a fight, is it? It's not a conquest, was it? There was no overbearingness or winning or losing. There was prevailing. And what Jacob was left was the name, the Shem. In fact, if we look in the scriptures, and Father says, just keep going, point that out, point out the name. And it says, and he's saying to him, what's the name of you? What's the Shem? The Shem. Yeah. What is the name? And so when we get to the verse when it says he blessed him there, the word there is not there, but it's Shem. And it says, and he is blessing with him the name. That would be the correct. You can say Sham, you can say Shem, you can say all of those things that would mean there. But if we know Holy Spirit and we know how Holy Spirit is, Holy Spirit puts puns everywhere for us to take a look at, word plays. And so Genesis 32:29, and he's blessing him with the name. I am your host, Leanna Grace. It's been my pleasure to bring you the broadcast this evening. I hope you found value in tonight's podcast or broadcast. Pod people, we love you too. Said that a little backwards on purpose because it's a little bit fun. If you want to get a hold of me and ask some questions about tonight's broadcast, feel free to do so. You can get me at leandragrace@proton.me. That's leandragrace@proton.me. And I check my email from time to time. I don't really keep up on it like I should, but I might have to start in a little bit going forward. I hope you found value. We will be, if the good Lord willing and the creek don't rise, we will be live on Monday night with Empathic Channel. We'll be talking some of the feely things, some of the emotional stuff that's going on, talk about some roadblocks, maybe some of the things that are holding us back. In all of this, guys, just remember that we hit the ground learning, and we're all learning, and we're all in this together. And I've read the back of the book, God Wins, but isn't it a blessing to understand a little bit more about the battle? Genesis 32:24, the beginning of Israel. I am your host, Leander Grace, reminding you to, as always, to watch for those signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, and do something good as we're on this road of forgiveness. Until next time, good night.